We're going to talk about, do a little comparison tonight from about fear and faith. Amen? You know, we talk about faith a lot in this church, and, you know, we hear the scripture that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. I always kind of misquote stuff like that. But I just kind of wanted to talk about faith tonight and just show you a little bit of the difference and kind of do just a small comparison and talk about some things. Over this past election, something I really noticed over the last year or so in the election, and I'm not going to say anything about our president-elect, but what I am going to say something about is our media. I've been voting, going to the polls now for about 25 years, somewhere around there. Shut up. I thought that was Carrie, but that was my wife that said that, wasn't it? That was you? Okay. But anyhow, in my 25 years of voting, and, you know, there's been periods of time where I've paid a lot of attention and been periods where I haven't paid so much attention. But never in my life have I seen the media more biased to one side or another. And what I noticed most about what they've been doing, especially in about the last 6 months, is stirring up a lot of fear. I think a lot of the problems that we're seeing in our economy have got to do with the media stirring up fear. I mean, and it just seems like in our nation there's just kind of a aura or just a hovering spirit of fear around everybody that's prompting people to make decisions in their lives based on fear, and the fear that they experience, that anxiety that people experience through the media. Well, one thing I've noticed here some time ago, I did just not really an in-depth study, but just kind of looked at a couple little charts about our economy. And one thing I noticed about our economy over the last several... Thank you. It was humming. It was very distracting. That's kind of echoey, yeah. But anyhow, one thing I've noticed about the economy over the last, well, really since we've been a nation, is it does this. And what the chart that I was looking at was all the peaks and valleys, you know, they showed who was in control of the House and Senate, who was the president, you know, what party was in control. And over the last couple hundred years, their economy has done this. And it's really about even on who is in control at the peaks and who is in control at the valleys. Our economy has done this. But you know what? Over the last 6,000 years, you know what our God has done? He has remained the same. He is unchanging. He never changes. But, you know, with our nation, you know, of course we can't help but watch, you know, a little bit of news. You catch a little bit here and there, and you hear about... you know, I heard the other day that GM or Ford One was thinking about filing bankruptcy, you know, reorganization bankruptcy. And, you know, you're hearing about foreclosures and you're hearing about, you know, this and that. And I was listening to my boss the other day, and he's talking about, you know, he's fixing to rein in his spending. And a lot of people, a lot of big corporations out there in our nation now are just kind of reining. It's not that they don't have any money. It's just that they're kind of reining it in and they're not spending it. Because why? Because they're basing decisions on fear. Therefore, they're causing our economy to struggle. But I'm going to tell you something. We as Christians, we as people of faith, cannot get caught up in basing, and especially our financial decisions, on fear. We cannot do it. We absolutely cannot do it. Amen? But anyhow... I'm trying to stay with my notes here. Okay. Anyhow, let's talk about fear and faith. And first thing I want to do is just kind of define each one for you. And we're going to start with fear because we want to end up strong with faith, right? So we're going to start with fear. There's several different ones here. Hang on a second. There was one. There was just one of these I was going to read. And it didn't copy. See, I told you that I was technologically challenged. And I tried to copy. See, I usually write my notes out so I know they get there. Well, I didn't this time. I tried to do it on a computer, and I tried to be all high-tech and fancy, and look where it got me. I don't even have the one in here I need here. But anyhow, fear is... fear is just a... It describes fear as being a feeling of anxiety, anxiousness, apprehension, things. The part of the definition that struck me was that it was either real or imagined. Things that cause fear are, you know, sometimes real, sometimes imagined. And with me, it's more times imagined than it is real. Because a lot of times, you know, most of the time where we get our anxieties and our fears, we sit around and play things out in our mind. You know, we domino effect in our mind, and this leads to this. You know, if I do this, it's going to do this. You know, if I spend this money, it's going to keep me from spending it here. If I do this, it's going to cause this. You understand what I'm saying? That it's most of the time our fears, our anxieties, our apprehensions. That ain't even a word, is it? Huh? Inhibitions. No, that ain't the word I was looking for. Anyhow, you know what I was talking about. Those things are caused by things that just kind of go on in our minds and plays in our minds. Where does the devil work on us the hardest? In our minds. That's the only tool he has against us. And what he does, he'll come in here and, you know, you'll see things in the media and you'll get things in your mind and on your mind. Well, he'll come in and plant a seed that pertains to you. And he'll drop something in your mind that pertains to you. And he really don't have to do anything else, because most of the time we just take it from there and run with it. And we don't recognize it right away as being a fiery dart. You know, those things that come from him that hinder us and slow us down and drag us. We sometimes have trouble recognizing those things. So those things just kind of play over and over in our minds, and they domino effect. Well, here pretty soon, we're in fear. And not necessarily a trembling, you know, this kind of fear, but just a... You know, you just a hold back, anxious kind of fear. You know, just a, I'm just going to hold back right here, you know, and just stay right here. But one of my favorite stories is, let's go ahead and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. David and Goliath. You guys know this story, don't you? David has made a statement, I read this last year sometime, and it has stuck with me to the point where it's getting to be one of my great sayings. You want? Yeah, 1 Samuel 17. I got to say it four times. 1 Samuel. That's right. 1 Samuel. For those of you who don't know, that's an inside joke. In Sunday school, I always ask about 18 times, where are we going? What was that? 1 Samuel what? 17. And I want you to go on down. Now, this is, I'll set it up for you. This is the Israelites are battling with the Philistines. Most of y'all know this story. And they're encamped with David, who is at this time, King David. He's not King David at this time, but a young David is shepherd to his father's flocks, and his brothers are in this army, and he's, you know, just bringing them provisions. And of course, does everybody know the story of David and Goliath? I don't have to tell this story, right? But David makes some statements in here. But let me set this up for you as far as Israel's concerned. It says, verse 23, it says, as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine, this is David talking, as David was talking with him, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted in his usual defiance, and David heard it. And when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from here in great fear. Now every morning of this battle, the Israelites and the Philistines would come out and they would line up.
Yeah,
anybody ever studied the Civil War? You know how they would just draw battle lines, and that's where they were. They would come out here every morning to these battle lines. Well, out from behind the battle lines of the Philistines, Goliath would step out. You know, and he was about yay tall. And he would just, he would taunt the Israelites. He would taunt them, and he would taunt them. And of course, as soon as he'd come out, it got to the point where as soon as he would come out, the Israelites would just turn and run. I want to ask y'all something. How many times do we as Christians, when one of those giants, one of those Philistines stands up in front of us, and we just kind of tuck tail and run? You know, a lot of times we talk about, a lot in this church, about putting on the armor of God. And, you know, most of the times over the period of my life, I've heard that preached in a defensive mode. You know, that the armor of God is for your defense. You know, you're just a, everything's, you know, you're taking and you're taking and you're taking. But let me tell you something. I don't like this thing, David. But let me tell you something about the armor of God. When it says that he put on his armor, it said, and when you've done all you can do, when you put on all the armor of God, when you've done all you can do, it says to stand. Now, does that mean just stand and take it? No, this is a military term that refers to, y'all ever seen any of the movies with the old Roman armies where they would get together in a line, they'd put their shields together, and they would move like this? Well, that's what that word refers to. See, you're gathering up. You're taking that shield of faith, and you're gathering up. And listen, you're marching against the armies of the devil. You ain't just taking the fiery darts. It's an offensive posture. And we as a Christian nation, have got to take the offense. We can no longer, and I'm telling you, because this world's becoming more and more decadent, I think we're reverting back to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. As we become, as a nation, become more and more decadent, we as a Christian nation better get on the offense. Because I'm going to tell you, defense, don't just do it alone anymore. You know, you've got to be on your guard all the time, but listen, it's time we as a Christian nation go on the attack. We can't afford just to stand and let the darts hit us anymore, amen? We can't stand. Now, you know, and I'm going to talk about tithes and giving a little bit tonight, because from what I understand, our giving is way down in the church. And our attendance is way up, but our giving's way down. And to me as a Christian, that don't make sense to me. I you know, I've tried to do the math and I've tried to reason it out, and it don't really make sense. Can I have that other microphone? I hate this. Where's Kevin? There ain't nobody back there to turn the other one on. This thing's driving me crazy. Okay, and Donald's doing it. Check, check, there we go. There, that's better, right? That thing is driving me crazy. Where was I? Giving, right. Yeah, I mean, okay, giving's down, attendance up. Where are we at, guys? You understand what I'm saying? You know, and I really got that. You know, I'm not a telephone host or anything like that. But listen, shut up. That's twice I've had to say that tonight, and I just really don't feel good about that. But listen, folks, you know, listen, we as Christians can't afford to back up. And if your tithes and your giving has dropped off because you're afraid of what the economy's doing, that's not a good thing. That's a fear-based decision, and that's taking a defensive part, that's running backwards. We cannot afford, as God's people, to move backwards. I can't afford to. You know, some of my most defining spiritual moments is realizing that I don't have to go backwards, that I don't have to take a step back. And when I take steps backwards,
it crushes me. You know, not too long ago, I took a big giant step backwards. And y'all, it crushed me. It crushed me. But you can't get to that spot that where when something big comes at you, that you start taking a step backwards. Because listen, the Bible says that when things come in like that, God raises up a standard. You don't have to run backwards. It's not going. That flood ain't going to get you. Because He raises up a standard against it. But listen, guys, that's the time to go on the. That's the time to go on the attack. And I love what David says here. Skip on down, verse 26. And this might be my new favorite verse in the Bible. It says, "Then David spoke to the men who stood by him. And it said, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" I'm going to ask y'all tonight as a church, who is this Philistine that raises up against the Almighty God? Our God who remains the same, who never changes. Even though our economy is doing this, God is doing this. He's unchanging. You know what else that means? That means His Word is never changing. And what does He say? "Give and it shall be given. Help me out. Press down. Shaken together. Running over. Shall men give to my bosom?" Listen. God's principles work whether our economy does or not. God's principles work whether our politicians do or not. Try it and see. It says He lurks about like a lion seeking. He wants to perform His word. He's waiting. He's just sitting on the wait, waiting for somebody to say, "You know what? I believe that word." And that's what faith is. It's believing. Let's look. Y'all, I'm nowhere near my notes, just so you know. Let's look at faith. Faith is belief. That's the first word that defines faith. Belief. The assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another. Who's the other? God. We believe what's declared by God, do we not? I said, there wasn't very many amens there. Come on, guys. I said, do we believe what's declared by the Lord Almighty, God of heaven and earth? Amen. Amen. We believe faith. It's faith. Resting solely and implicitly on His authority and veracity and reliance on His testimony. What's our testimony? That we relied on that, or that we crawfished a little bit. Now listen, as far as tithing and giving is concerned, if you've been laid off and your income has gone down, well, yeah, your giving will go down. But if your income hasn't changed, your tithing shouldn't change. And I'm just going to say it. I've really got nothing to gain by saying this, and I can say it where David might not be able to. Listen, if you're, I hadn't planned on being this brash, but I'm just going to. Listen, if your income hadn't changed, why did your tithe changed? It shouldn't happen. That's crawfishing. That's fear-based decisions. And we can't afford it. Y'all, we cannot afford it. God can afford it. You know what? Because He said that everything in the earth, He said, what is it? The earth is His and the fullness thereof. Listen, everything in this earth is His. And that's one thing we got. And this was my revelation, and this is what helped me about tithing. And y'all, listen, I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody. Sometimes I get a little lax. I'll admit it. But my heart, listen, my heart is here. Everything that I have, everything on this earth belongs to God. All He requires is what I bring in, I give Him back a tenth of it. Now, that's Scripture. That's what He says. And it's not because He needs it. It's for us. It's for our heart. just to let us know that, listen, we're not about material things. We're about His business. But you know what? His business requires funds. So therefore, we need to give our funds. We need to give our tenth. Amen? But the thing for me, and the thing that just made it easier for me was, you know, for a long time, as I wrote my tithe check, you know, it's in my mind, I'm giving my money. This is my hard-earned money. This is the money that I've earned. Mine, 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 mine. Well, you know what? The earth is His and the fullness thereof. Amen? This is not my money. And this is the revelation I had. This is not mine. All He's doing is asking me back for 10% of it, of what's already His. He's given me 90%. Amen? He's given me the 90%. It's not me giving Him my 10%. It's Him giving me 90%. Because it's His. And y'all, He don't need our money. And I'm going to tell you, He don't need our money. But He does need our heart. And He needs our heart to be in the right place about giving it. Amen? Y'all, this ain't going near the way I want it to. Not even near it. Let's skip on down to verse 33. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." How many times have we heard, you know, just maybe in the back of our mind, you can't do that. You're not mature enough as a Christian to do that. You're but a youth. You're but a baby. Listen, does God raise the standard or not? Does it matter if you've been a Christian for 10 seconds or 10 years? No. No. God is no respecter of person. God raises up a standard. When you call on His name, He raises up a standard. Amen? He raises up that wall. Listen, He's our defense. It's time for us to go. I'm telling y'all, I'm preaching. It's time for us to go on the attack. I'm tired of being a beat down, you know, always just constantly taking blows. You take them mentally, you take them spiritually, you take them financially, you take them every way you can take them. And it's time that we don't take them anymore. Listen, we've got a tool. God has given us everything. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And He has made provision in all aspects of our life. Every aspect of our life, He has made provision. Jehovah Jireh. Everybody say Jehovah Jireh. If you didn't know what that meant before, you'll know it before we leave here tonight. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Amen? He is my provider. He is my provision. My job ain't my provision. That's the avenue to my provision. You know what? And He provides opportunities. Listen, don't think I'm telling you to sit on your butt and wait for the bag of money to fall from heaven. No, that ain't how it works. Bible also says, basically, if you don't work, you don't eat. Amen? That's what... I'm just quoting, don't hurt the messenger. That might be Jerry's translation, but that's pretty much what it says. You don't work, you don't eat. Listen, He gives you the way. But it's what you do with it is up to you. He's also given us free will. Amen? Wow, I've got no notes on this. But listen, guys, we've got to get in gear. We've got to get together as a people. Not just as a body in this church, but as a body as a whole. I want y'all to go through. I've got a project for you this week. Go home and look up in the scripture where it talks about the people were one. Where the people were together. They were in one heart, one mind, and one accord. I'm going to tell y'all something. It says the earth shook. The winds blew. Things happen when people get together and get on the same page. Y'all, we've got work to do in this body local. We've got work to do in this community and beyond. But it's going to take us being together, being in one place, being one heart, one mind, and one accord. We can't be going as a church in different directions. But you know what? We can't be going in different directions as far as principles are concerned either. Listen, God's laid certain spiritual laws in motion. And when we follow and stay in those laws, listen, He honors His Word. He honors His Word. There's no lie in Him. He cannot not honor His Word. He seeks to perform His Word. The only thing that hinders His Word from being performed is... Everybody look at the big neon flashing sign, the big arrow. This is what prevents His Word from being performed. Right here. Because He's already done it. Who is He? Jehovah Jireh. My provider. Jehovah Jireh. My provider. Amen. Boy, Jerry, that's good preaching. I know it. Keep going. Whew. But listen, I love David's attitude. He says, who is this? I mean, y'all get this pictured in your mind. David's a guy, how old is he at this time? About 15? Early teens? Somewhere around there. You know, he's been keeping the flock. Yeah, he killed a bear. He killed a lion. You know, with God's help, he did it. You know, he's feeling a little cocky. He's feeling... Right. He rolls up to the front line. And here comes this big Philistine out. And the army of the living God turns around and runs. Lord, I picture this in my mind happening today. That you know what? Every morning we get up, we do our little meditation time, we do a little bit of reading, and we get ready for the fight. We go up and stand on the battle line, and here comes the Philistine, and we go, there we go. We crawl back in. We go back in. We run in fear. Why? You know, maybe I just see this happening as a nation and as a body. Who is this Philistine that would defy the army of the living God? Who would defy the living God Himself? Who is this Philistine that would come against what my word says? Who is this Philistine? Who is your Philistine tonight? Who is it? Who is it that would defy the word of the Almighty living God? Who is it tonight that goes against what your word says, what my word says? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Jireh. Now, y'all, and I'm not just talking about monetary provision. I'm talking about mental provision, health provision. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Jireh. And y'all, if we crawfish on stuff, if we start backing up because gas prices have shot up to $5 a gallon, because my energy bill, my monthlies have gone up. Listen, you give what's God's, His first, and see that He don't provide you the rest. Test it, y'all. Test it and see if it works. I'll guarantee it. Test it. He seeks to perform His Word. He seeks to do it. He wants to do it. He's chomping at the bit to perform it. Listen, the work's been done. It's been done. You do your part, He'll do His part. I'm going to tell you what. You know, we talk about it, and I've heard a long time all my life about how all the promises of God are... They're just free. They're free. They're free. They're free. Yeah, they're free to an extent, but you know what? There's a stipulation. With every contract that you enter into is two-way. Y'all remember when Abraham, you remember when God asked Abraham to offer Isaac? Does everybody know why he asked Abraham to offer Isaac? See, he had cut a covenant with Abraham. And in order for that covenant to be valid, both parties, now this was according to the laws of covenant at this time, that both parties had to be willing to do the same thing. So in order for God's covenant to Abraham to be valid, y'all know that Christ came from the line of Abraham, right? In order for that covenant to be valid, Abraham had to be willing to offer Isaac, because guess what he had in mind? He was going to offer his son, wasn't he? But you know what? We've got a valid contract with God. You know, not only is our covenant full of grace and compassion and peace and provision and all those things, but you know what? It's legal and binding. It's valid. We have a valid contract with the living God. And here comes this Philistine to defy my contract. Amen? Listen. Woods. Y'all, I'm preaching to myself. If I ain't preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself tonight. I'm telling you, God He's raised up a standard. We don't have to fear what's going on. We don't have to fear it. We have a valid contract with the Creator of heaven and earth. Valid, legal, and binding. That means He's going to honor it. Amen? As long as we honor it, there's stipulations, y'all. There's stipulations to every contract. Every legal and binding contract, there are stipulations. There's something required on your behalf. Amen? There's something required of us. It may not be monetary, but listen, it's right here. I'm going to tell you where God is a judge. God is a judge of the heart. He's not a judge of your finances. He's not a judge of how big you write your check every Sunday morning. That's not what He judges the heart behind that signature. He judges the heart behind that amount. You know, and I've heard David say it, and I've said it a lot, that if your heart ain't right, don't give it. Don't give it. If your heart, if you're sitting there saying, I'm giving 10% of my money, let me emphasize the my money, don't give it. Keep it. Amen. Same with your time. Absolutely. Don't give it. That's not what He wants. He wants what's right here. That's all He wants. That's the reason He created us with free will, so we could give it to Him willingly. You know, He could have created us to where we had to. But you know what? He didn't. He created us because he wanted somebody to choose Him. And He's given us the choice. Amen? I know that I wasn't wrong. This is a scatter load. I apologize for that. Might be hard to follow. But golly, guys. I got a story. What time? How much time I got? Okay. I got a story. How many of y'all know what, you know, we're talking about fear versus faith. Basing decisions. Are you basing your decisions on fear or on faith? And when I say fear, don't think of it as trembling fear. It's those anxieties. It's those apprehensions. It's those feelings of self-doubt. Anything that roots itself in fear, which is the opposite of faith, which is going to be the opposite of what the Word says about you, about your situation. If it roots itself in that fear, y'all, listen, we've got to attack it. We've got to recognize it for what it is, and we've got to attack it. And one of my favorite stories, I think it was John Maxwell I heard tell this story. But y'all know what it means to run to the roar? You ever heard the run to the roar story? I'm going to tell you what run to the roar means. Excuse me. the lions in the Serengeti. Y'all know I'm a expert on the Serengeti. How lions hunt in the Serengeti. Y'all know how lions hunt in the Serengeti? There's a group of lions, a pride of lions, and they'll find a little herd of impalas out there. And the impalas are out there just minding their own business, just chomping away. Well, most prides of lions have, they're mostly female. Shut up. Again, for the third time, shut up. I'm just kidding. But a pride of lions, but they usually have one big old strapping male lion. But most of the time, you better let me finish before you say amen. Most of the time, the leader of this pride of lions is, we need to emphasize the old. He's usually old, has about three teeth left, can barely move. You know, he kind of walks like this. Well, what happens is this pride of lions, they gather around this big field where these impalas are feeding. It's usually in grass about this tall, where, you know, impalas can't really see what's going on. How many of y'all, sometimes we get blinded by the things going on around us and we can't really see what's going on? I mean, y'all follow this? See where I'm going with this? Here's what happens. The old toothless lion gets on one end of the field. Well, all the strapping, good-looking young ladies, I'm earning points, by the way, get on this end of the field. So here they are, all crouched down, ready to pounce. Just like my wife. They're on this end of the field. They're all ready, but they're being real still and they're being real quiet. Meanwhile, on this end of the field, here's the old crippled up toothless lion. But let me ask you, how many of y'all have been to the zoo and heard one of them big old, big mane lions roar? It will send chills down your spine. Well, here's what happens. Here's this group of little innocent impalas. That's us, by the way. All out there, just kind of blinded to what's going on, just chomping away, eating, just going on. Well, all of a sudden, the old toothless lion lets out this huge, big, ferocious roar. I can't do it, but anyhow, I'm not old enough and toothless enough to make that kind of a roar. But what happens is all these impalas, little impalas, they turn and run, but they run right towards this group of females over here, and guess what? Their supper. They get bit in the throat and drug up a tree. How many of y'all have ever been, felt like you've been bit in the throat and drug up a tree? Yeah. But here's the gist of this story. If the impalas would face their fears, if instead of what's causing their fear, instead of turning and running away from it into the trap, how many of y'all know the devil sets traps for us? He sets them. He lays them out there. He gets on the other field, and, you know, and he lets out the big roar. There we go, right into the trap. But listen, if the impalas would turn and run towards the roar, they'd blow right by. Y'all, this has been my theme for about the last 5 years. The things that I'm scared of, I run headlong into. And guess what? Usually I blow right by them. Sometimes I haven't. I'm going to give a little bit of testimony. I'm going to end with this. But, you know, for a long time, I ran away from the thing that I was scared of. And this has happened recently. And some of y'all were here the Sunday that I sang that song that I wrote about, you know, about forgiveness and things like that. For a long time, I didn't want to do that. I was afraid to do that in one form or another. But you know what? This story came to my mind. And I thought, you know, I'm more scared of going backwards than I am of swallowing my pride and moving forward. And I ran to the roar. But you know, there's all kinds of little aspects of your life where if you'll turn and you'll run to the roar, y'all, you're going to blow right by. If you're hanging on to finances because you're scared, listen, run to the roar. Blow right by. Test the word. Test it. See if it works. I'm going to tell you it works. If you believe in God, then you believe it works because His word never changes and there's no lie in Him. Run to the roar. Amen. Preacher, you got anything to add?